Welcome to the You Choose Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Please take a moment, pause this podcast right now, and share it with someone you think would find this podcast interesting. We would really appreciate it. Please go to youchoosepodcast.com. That's the letter U, choosepodcast.com, and find the different ways that you can connect with us and how you can be part of the live event. And without further ado, let's get into the adventure you choose. All right, everybody. We're back again for more You Choose. Not Eddie Choose, You Choose.
No. No, you don't want Eddie Choose. This is how you end up on a mammoth falling off a cliff.
Yes, on fire. Not the cliff, you're on fire. With a sandwich in your hand. This is You Choose. So the way it works, if you're new, thank you for listening. But what we do is we get to the decision point in these old Choose Your Own Adventure books. And then if you're watching live, you can type in the chat where you want us to go. So if you want us to go upstairs, type in go upstairs. Or if you want us to go down the river, you know, type in down the river. Any other funny comments, of course, always welcome at any time.
Hilarity ensues.
First book we're doing tonight is the book called The Mystery of Echo Lodge by Luis Monroe Foley. He's done several of these. Again, awesome cover with a cougar and a falcon amalgamed together somehow on the cover.
Foul cougar.
Cougar foul. And then a girl and then getting buried in snow. I mean, so again, wonderful covers. So
this is basically the poster for people who are considering moving to Nebraska.
Yeah, there you go. Cougars, falcons.
It really is.
Buried in snow.
Predatory birds, mountain lions, getting lost in the dark. How about dying in the winter? Visit Nebraska. It's not for everybody.
It is if you want to die.
by the way, we should put a link to this book in the show notes on this, because the second page on this is the yellowest page in the world. Look at
that. So speaking of age, this one is, 1985, Eddie.
1985. This page is the color of my smoker uncle's teeth.
After smoking 4 packs a day, no filters.
Pall Malls unfiltered. God, look at that page. That's amazing.
And did he talk like he had... He'd smoke 4 packs a day and drunk at least a bottle of whiskey.
He talked the way you think Brian Adams sounds when he talks. Hey, everybody. Wow.
Drinking lighter fluid. Why not? I mean, drinking lighter fluid never killed anybody, according to Al, right?
Right. You want me to crack this one off, Lee?
Yeah, let's get this started here. Let me get the...
Just so we're all aware, children, and yes, I put my readers on, this one I misread originally and thought it was The Mystery of Econo Lodge.
Econo Lodge.
Shows you how old we all are.
Stay at Econo Lodge, Eddie. Use You Choose for 10% off.
Mention You Choose Podcast. Oh, for Bill Foley, my Sierra skier, who's special. Yeah, there's that.
Oh, the dedication. There we go.
You got to do illustration the illustration there. Very confusing. Here we go.
And now for your request and dedication.
A special skier.
Yes.
A light snow is falling. The December morning you arrive at the Lake Tahoe bus station. As you leave the bus, you stare at the majestic peaks of the Sierra Nevada range. This is going to be the best winter vacation you've ever had. You tend to have a tendency to hype things up before they actually happen.
Of course, because we think so well of ourselves.
Yeah, because we're 9.
Yeah.
Aunt Sadie said there'd be lots of time off from your duties at her lodge to go snowboarding and learn how to ski. Why are you working at a snow lodge? You don't know how to ski already.
Yeah, come on. What's up with that?
What's happening? You enter the depot and look around. Aunt Sadie's bellman, Russell Lyons, there's a name for you.
Russell
is supposed to pick you up. A small man is seated on a bench reading a newspaper. He's wearing a heavy... That guy doesn't look a small man.
No.
He's wearing a heavy plaid jacket and a cap with ear flaps. I believe that's called a toque.
A toque.
Might Ooh. I add?
Yeah.
And his navy trousers have gold stripes down the legs. Excuse me, you say. Are you Russell from Echo Lodge? Slowly, the newspaper is lowered. The man stares back at you through wire-framed glasses that he has to read because he's old, dying eyes. Old,
yeah, my old eyes, cataract-filled eyes.
Can't read small text. He looks about 80 years old. I'm 9 years old, so someone who looks 40 looks 80 years old.
Looks 80, yes.
So Sadie found me another city kid to train, Russell says. Cheap help. That's what happens when you go broke. Not like the old days when we had slaves.
Back in my day.
Back in my day when we had indentured servitude. Come on. This guy sounds dangerous already.
He does.
You follow Russell outside and climb into an aging purple van with Sadie's Echo Lodge printed in gold on the side. Who's going broke, you ask, as he shifts it into gear. Sadie's going broke. Man, whatever happened to not airing dirty laundry?
I know. He's just, he's one of those old people. I don't care.
I don't care anymore. I'll tell you my secrets. I killed a guy one time.
I paid my taxes. Leave me alone.
Exactly. More cancellations and reservations these days. I know it's a Paiute jinx. I don't know. Paiute jinx. I don't know what that is.
Jinx. I don't know what that is.
He suddenly steers off the main highway onto a narrow mountain road. There's a cute little lodge there.
Yep.
A little illustration. What's the Paiute? We got to figure out how to pronounce that. Paiute jinx, you wonder. You hesitate to ask Russell. He seems pretty crabby, and he might have killed a guy.
He did.
Maybe Aunt Sadie will explain. You ride in silence, staring at the rugged mountains and deep canyons. Because that's what you did in the 1980s when you were bored in the car. You stared out the window.
Yeah. No, that's your entertainment. Just watching things go by.
Oh, I don't have Wi-Fi. Stare out the window like it's 1985.
All over you. Count the cows.
Count the cars.
Yeah, count the cars, cows, states. Whatever.
Let's see here. Here it is, Russell says, pulling up in front of a steep stone flight of stairs. The main lodge, almost hidden by towering pine trees, is a two-story structure of stone and redwood. A stone chimney climbs one wall, and around the main building are four small chalets.
Chalet.
Shallots. Type of onion, kid.
I want more shallots in this soup.
The onion soup. That's all we eat here. Their steep sloping roofs support a heavy snowpack and dagger sharp icicles hang from the eaves. Seems dangerous. Go on up, Russell tells you. I'll park the van. This just highlights again. In the 1980s, they didn't care about us.
No.
And we knew it. We knew it in our hearts.
Yes. They had to be reminded. Remember the old thing? It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are at?
I mean, do you know where your children are?
They didn't even know where we were at.
Oh, no.
I have children?
Mildred, where's Lee? She said, I don't know. Like, oh, who's man.
They're probably, who's Lee? Your kid.
Who's that kid?
We have a kid?
That's your son.
I forgot.
Exactly. Go on. I'll park the van. You drag your bag up the steep stairway and enter the lobby. Aunt Sadie, you call, peering around. Your aunt comes running in. Just call me Sadie, she says, giving you a hug. Don't do that to me. You're my aunt.
Yeah.
I'm raised right.
Yeah. Don't hug me.
You got here just in time. My switchboard is operator quit this morning.
Oh.
I don't know how to run a switchboard. I'm nine.
I'm nine. Guess what we're going to be doing?
Switchboard operator.
Yeah.
As Sadie hustles you inside her private suite of rooms, you notice a small blonde woman in a red dress staring at you. Furthermore, Sadie whispers, slamming the door, last night we had a power failure and Countess Maria's diamond watch was stolen.
Good thing I'm here. I can solve this.
Exactly. Heidi and I are in desperate need of help. Who's Heidi, you ask Sadie. You're like, she's throwing names at me already. I don't know. How do I keep up with this?
I got this old guy, Russell. I've got Sadie. I've got Maria. Wow.
Right. Who's Heidi, you ask Sadie. I am. Growls a voice behind you. Who are you?
Here are you.
The mom. the mom from Goonies. You whirl around to confront the blonde lady from the lobby. Only she's now dressed in a purple flowered muumuu and is wearing a black wig. Absolutely normal. Nothing weird about this.
There's nothing unusual here. Ignore the man behind the curtain.
You have no idea how she got into the room. This is my niece's child, Sadie explains, here to help us out through the winter vacation. Hmm, says Heidi skeptically. Can you follow orders? That depends on who gives them, you reply. There you go.
Oh, we're a little whippersnapper.
We're not going to go down.
No.
Watching things go by like the minutes of your life. more leaks or riot. That's true. More onions. Let's see here. Can you follow orders? That depends on who gives them, you reply. When you work with me, I give them, Heidi snaps. I am the Echo Lodge house detective. We have a house detective.
House detective?
Retired from a long and distinguished career with Interpol, the International Criminal Police Commission. Her speech is interrupted by a wailing siren. Fire, Heidi shouts. Fire in the lodge. You evacuate the second floor. I'll get the dining room. Heidi pushes you toward the lobby and you race up the main stairs. You bang on doors shouting, but most of the rooms seem to be empty. When you reach room 223, you hear a radio playing loudly and the sound of water running. You bang on the door. No one answers. You try the knob. The door is locked. Should you go to the desk for a key or force the door open? The siren is still screeching. If you go to the desk for a key, turn to page 12. If you force the door open with your tremendous 9-year-old strength, turn to page 17.
All right.
Do we get the key or do we force the door?
Force the door with our amazing 9-year-old strength. I like that. So the Paiute Jinx, the P-A-I-U-T-E, is in reference to three non-indigenous groups of indigenous people in the Great Basin. So it's a indigenous group, people group. That's what it is.
There you go. Nothing like a nice 80-year-old 1980s racist guy to say, blame it on the Native Americans right out of the gate. Just be like,
yeah, that's the 80s. All right.
So we have to bust open the You Choose coin because we can't seem to reach a consensus.
People die while you run for keys. Force that door open. So it says force the door.
Well, but then we also had a vote for get the key.
Oh, he did. Oh, yeah. Okay. He did. Okay. All right.
And then Jesse goes, is this really our first choice?
It is. Yes. All right.
Yes, it is.
Heads for key, tails for door.
There we go.
Heads.
We're getting that key.
We're going to go get that key. Heck, leave him there. Leave him there. We'll just go get that key. We're going to do it the right way. We don't trust our 9-year-old strength.
Smoke inhalation never killed anyone.
Yes, exactly. You run downstairs to the empty lobby and scan the row of mailboxes behind the desk. There it is. 223. With luck, there'll be a spare key in the box. Your hand closes around something metallic, but what you hold is not a key. It's a woman's diamond-studded wristwatch. It must be the one stolen from the Countess. Hastily, you shove the watch in your pocket and whirl around to face the switchboard. You think you can figure out how to work it? If you ring 223, maybe the occupant will answer. You slip on the headset and start to plug a cord into the 223 outlet, but there's already a cord plugged in. You open the switch. We'll have Sadie out of business by spring, a man says. Tomorrow, when Russell brings the ski team from the airport, you will arrange for them to have an accident. They'll be riding in the van. He laughs. It will be the van's final run. The next thing you hear is a dial tone. Just as you yank off the headset, the siren stops. The guests file back inside. You must tell someone what you overheard and about finding the watch. But who? Sadie is already nervous about things going wrong. You could tell Heidi, but you're not convinced she's competent.
Wow. Nice.
She seems a little strange. All right, here we go, everybody. If you're in the chat, let us know what you want to do here. If you choose to tell Heidi, turn to page 15. If you choose to tell Sadie, turn to page 25. So do we tell Heidi or do we tell Sadie? Let us know in the chat. And then we'll go there. But yeah, I love how, again, our nine-year-old arrogance, we just can't go wrong. She's wearing a muumuu. Don't tell her nothing.
See, now I would take this advice, but Jesse's just throwing that around willy-nilly like he himself has not worn a muumuu. And I know better, sir. I know better.
I know better. We know what happens.
I love how we're like, based on my competency measuring skills.
I can tell. I took a competency course by a correspondence competency course along with my evidently we know how to run a switchboard.
Yep. Al too is approaching old age and has already forgotten their names and who they are. So,
so I agree with Jesse.
It's clock in the Navy.
It's clock in the Navy. This house is bigger than your old house. Don't throw me down the stairs, Clark.
I pledge allegiance to the flag. So, Aunt Bethany. Don't trust the muumuu person. So we go
to Heidi.
To Sadie.
Or Sadie, sorry, Sadie.
You forgot who they were.
I forgot too.
We almost forgot. All right, like so it's Heidi.
Jesse's
turn to page fabric, 15.
Jesse says the fabric breathes, so don't judge me.
I don't. It's good.
All right, Sadie.
It's like a kilt for your body.
Is. It's a kilt. So that's page 25.
We're going to Sadie.
Page 25. All right.
Yeah, not Heidi. We're going to Sadie.
Sadie, yes.
Page 25. Sadie, you say, hurrying over to her. I found the Countess's watch in room 223's mailbox. That's odd. 223 is Heidi's room, says Sadie, taking it from you.
Oh, boy.
I agree with Jesse. She's our aunt.
She's our
show
aunt.
Show some respect.
Come on.
Or aunt, depending on who you
aunt,
are.
Aunt, yes.
Taking it from you, a quick thought runs through your mind. Maybe Heidi stole the watch. Maybe she's causing these strange things to happen. That's not all, you say to Sadie. A man on the phone said the ski team is going to have an accident tomorrow on the way from the airport to the lodge. An accident, Sadie whispers. How do you pronounce it again?
Peyote?
Peyote jinx again. My God, this book is already racist, it feels like.
The jinx.
What jinx? Last year, when I was making plans to build the North Chalet, I got a note in the mail saying that the site of the building was sacred tribal ground. It said the lodge would be haunted by evil spirits if the chalet was built. Have we not watched Poltergeist?
Poltergeist, yeah. Man, I need to show my kids that. That thing is terrifying.
Oh, God. When the eggs popped out of the thing.
Yes. And the tree.
Start cooking. Oh, I think of the Ghostbusters. That's when the
yeah.
eggs cooked.
Yeah.
It was something else.
There's that tree like, that comes alive outside his room. And then I think there's the dolls or something. It's been so long.
And that the clown.
The clown. There we
that
go.
The clown doll.
Yes.
Anyway. You don't believe it, do you? You ask. I didn't then, but I don't know now. Russell belongs to the Pitt River tribe. He thinks we can't ignore it. Well, I think someone's going to tamper with the van, you say. Do you want me to guard it? Guard it? You can't lift 40 pounds.
Yeah, we couldn't open the door. What makes you think we can guard it?
What?
Again, our hubris.
No, Sadie says. What was that?
Our hubris knows no limit.
I know, right? I can be strong when I need to. I can be a shark.
I can be. Well, no, you can't.
By the way, I found a video game where you get to be a shark.
Yeah, I think it was a PlayStation game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yes,
it's called Man Eater. Like the what's the song? It's the
oh yeah,
the song.
Yes,
she's a man eater.
She's a man eater. Yeah. Oh gosh, I'll have to look at Jesse. Will find it for us.
They're gonna yell at us because it's like something obvious.
Was it Billy Joel?
Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates. Okay.
No, Sadie says. I'll have Heidi do that. I want you to make up the rooms or help the chef. What do you want to do? Neither job sounds like fun, but you don't want to upset Sadie any more than she already is. That's a good, sensitive kid. If you make up the rooms, turn to page 38. If you help the chef with your sweet culinary skills, turn to page 74.
We have culinary skills. We also have the ability to guard a car. We can run the switchboard. I mean, we can do it all.
Yeah, there, we had literally people screaming at us in the chat, Hall and Oates.
Yes.
Hall and Oates. And then Jesse admitting he couldn't play as a shark without singing that song.
Jesse, helping the chef never killed anyone. Oh, it's unanimous.
Oh!
Help the chef, because all chefs love nothing more than a nine-year-old in their kitchen. Yeah, exactly.
It's the best. A nine-year-old in the kitchen is...
It's going to be the other way around. Chef's helping us.
It's exactly. We're the expert. It's just like all of us, all the 80s kids listening. It's tantamount. A nine-year-old helping in the kitchen is the same as to us holding the flashlight for our dad while he's working on the car.
Yeah, where do you want it? Move it down. Move it down.
All right. Hold the light still.
Gosh. Is he swearing and turn? Anyway. Mom, dad said...
Exactly.
74.
So you're going to chef it up on page 74.
That chef's going to do what we tell him to, because we're in charge. He's we took a correspondence course. Yeah.
Oh, there she comes.
We took a correspondence course in culinary school. All right. Here we go. I'll help the chef, you say to Sadie, and head for the kitchen. The chef is standing by the stove, stirring soup in a large pot. A young woman stands at the sink, scrubbing potatoes. Sadie sent me to help you, you tell the chef. Another greenhorn, he grumbles. Here, stir this. I have to make a phone call. He hands you a spoon, and no sampling. You get to eat after the guests, not before. He must be reading your mind. It smells awfully good and you're hungry. As the chef goes out through the swinging door, the young woman moves from the sink to the stove. I'm Karen, she says, grabbing the spoon from your hand. I'll do the soup. You get over to the sink and scrub the potatoes. You frown. Who's in charge here, you wonder? Are you hungry? Karen asks.
It's not you.
Not you. As you turn to answer, she takes a sip from the spoon and wrinkles her nose. Not bad, she says, but it could use some more seasoning. She reaches into her apron pocket and pulls out a salt shaker, muttering, let's dress this up a bit. Aren't you hungry? Karen asks again. The chef said, ... You start to say, don't worry about him. What he doesn't know won't hurt him. Do you want some? All right, here we go. If you say yes, turn to page 95. If you say no, turn to page 78. So, yes or no? Do we sample the food or do we do what the chef said and wait? Let us know in the chat.
Jesse saying, don't trust a Karen.
This is long before Karen's.
By seasoning, she means poison. And it's true. It's like, we should really season the soup.
Season soup.
Don't you think? You're like... Al needs to be a chef, man.
We follow the rules. Like, respect the chef. Okay.
He's like, show me your sleeves. You hold up the greasy, dirty sleeves. Chef. Get out of my kitchen.
Get out of here. Stinking kids. All right.
So we are not sampling.
No soup for you. So 78.
No thanks, you say to Karen. I'll wait till the guests have eaten and then died from your poison seasoning.
Yeah. Poison seasoning.
When the lunch bell rings, Karen hands you a ladle and points to a stack of empty soup bowls. Here, she says, dish out the soup while I check something. While I check my poison bush.
Make sure it's ready.
Thing. As she opens the back door, a skinny black and white cat races into the kitchen and jumps up on the counter. No, you yell at the cat. Get out of here. But it's too late. The cat has smelled the soup and is already lapping some from a bowl. You put down the ladle, pick up the cat, and set him down on the floor. Go crawl under a table, you mutter, and no one will mind. I've never seen a cat eat soup, by the way, in case we're ever wondering.
Yeah, that's pretty rare.
You're filling the last three bowls when you notice the cat is staggering as if he's dizzy.
Oh, man.
Mary, the waitress, comes in from the dining room to get the soup. better get that cat out of here before he dies. I mean, the chef catches him. She says, picking up a tray of bowls. Okay, you say. You bend over to pick up the cat, but as you do, he takes a few uncertain kitty steps and collapses on the floor. You pick up the cat and put your ear to his chest. His heart is still beating. How do you know which end to listen to on a cat? Are you telling me you're some sort of veterinarian person now, kid?
I took a 6-week correspondence course in veterinary skills.
He's listening to the tail. He's like,
I hear the heartbeat. Tell. I can feel it.
What's wrong with him, you wonder? He's definitely sick. Quickly, you find a box and make a bed for the cat. You make a casket. I mean, bed for casket. The cat.
Yeah.
You're sliding it under a counter when the chef comes in. What's that cat doing in my kitchen? He yells with no empathy whatsoever.
Yes. Empathy of a rock.
35. Leave the cat alone, you say to the chef. He's sick. He ate your soup. Out, out, the chef yells, grabbing the box and setting it outside. His actions infuriate you. You were once a cat in the book. Be a shark.
Yes, you can totally empathize.
He was fine until he ate your soup, you snap. The minute you say it, the pieces fit together. Karen put something in the soup, something dangerous, and disappeared. How dare you say that, the chef yells angrily. Wait a minute, you say, grabbing his arm. I think Karen put something dangerous in the soup. I think that's why the cat got sick. He was drugged. Nonsense, says the chef. Now get back to work. No, you've got to warn the guests. They can't eat your poison soup. I'll do no such thing, he says. It's my reputation. Well, I will, you say. If you do, Sadie will find herself without a chef to prepare the evening meal, he threatens. I'd rather customers die than me not.
Yeah, than to stop this.
You don't want to make things worse for Sadie. Maybe it wasn't the soup that made the cat ill. But maybe it was.
Uh-oh.
If you warn the guests, turn to page 37. If you start scrubbing potatoes, turn to page 105. Ugh. That at one point was an actual choice in my life on Choose Your Own Eddie Adventure. If you start scrubbing potatoes.
Life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Life gives you potatoes, you make mashed potatoes.
You make potato aid.
Potato aid. There we go.
Yeah.
So we got a moral quandary here. Warning people about death never killed anyone.
Jesse. Nonsense. The soup was already poisoned and now Karen is dying.
Al, you're a vet. The cat could have been sick from something else and those taters ain't going to clean themselves. So
we have a split decision here.
Clean the taters.
Warning people, because we have a vote for warning people.
Okay.
And a vote for let them eat poison soup.
All right.
So I say, heads for guests, tails for taters.
Tails for taters. Okay. Heads. Oh. We're going to warn the guests. Yikes. We might just cost our Aunt Sadie the chef. So let's go to page 35. Oh, man.
37.
Or 37. Okay. Wow. Kind of know what's coming.
Oh, boy.
You march away from the chef and into the dining room. Hold it, everybody, you shout. But you're too late. The diners are slumped in their chairs, unconscious. What's happening, Mary asks you. Karen drugged the soup, you reply. Why? She asks. I think our answer is coming in the door right now. She turns to follow your gaze. Two masked men are holding the chef at gunpoint. They motion for you and Mary to come. Sit down, says one of the men in a muffled voice. The three of you sit at an empty table. Watch them while I get their lunch, he says to the other man. In a few minutes, he comes back from the kitchen with a tray. On it are three bowls of soup. Eat, he orders. Wow, turn to page 41.
Eat poison soup.
When you regain consciousness, Sadie is standing over you. The lodge is in chaos. Some guests are still groggy from the drug. Some are recovered and furious. All have been robbed. Heidi is on the phone with the local police. By nightfall, most of the guests have been checked out. Sadie is sitting by the fireplace checking the guest register. The Bryants and the Tompkinsons will leave in the morning, she says. That's everyone but the Countess. The Countess, Heidi yells. She wasn't in the dining room. Of course not, says Sadie. The Countess eats breakfast at 11. She never eats lunch. Turn to page 48. All right. Maybe the Countess saw the men drive in, Heidi says. The North Chalet overlooks the parking lot. Let's go talk to her. You walk the short distance to the chalet. Heidi knocks. Come in, yells the Countess. You push open the door. The Countess is watching a mystery on television. Curled up beside her is the black and white cat. Heidi, that's the cat, you say. Quiet, says the Countess, pointing to the screen. They're accusing the wrong person. That tall man is the murderer. She snaps off the set in disgust. These TV detective stories are so simplistic. A child could solve them. Please sit down. You and Heidi sit in a low sofa. The cat jumps down and comes straight to you. He purrs as he rubs against your leg. My cat likes you, the Countess says. He was lost today for a while. I asked the two very unpleasant men in the parking lot if they'd seen him, and they almost ran me down with their car. The men, Heidi says. Can you describe them or the car? Turn to page 54. Of course, says the Countess. I was trained from a child to be observant. Okay. The car was a green two-door sedan with a dented right front fender, two rearview mirrors on the sides, a leopard upholstery, Nevada license plate, XVID530. Heidi grins. Countess, tomorrow you're going to get breakfast in bed. Compliments of the house. But not before 11, darling. And please, send some kippers for Sherlock, she says, stroking the cat lovingly. Sherlock, you munder? That figures. The end. Okay.
Was that an ending?
I guess so. The Countess figured it all out, so.
Well, the Countess basically just got a description of the vehicle with a license plate number.
Yeah, basically. And that's it. That's it.
Like, it could have been a stolen van.
Yeah. Use their mom's car.
This is a classic. This is Jesse comes in over the top ropes.
Like, yeah. Why? Comes over the what? Top rope.
I think this is a Macho Man moment. Sometimes you just got to get to an ending, right, Macho Man?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you do.
I think this is a classic one where they're like, we got to get to an ending.
We got to get to an ending somehow. I don't care how you get there. Just.
We had a jerk old man talk to us, rude. We met some weird people. We stopped a fire. We ate some poison soup.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesse's right. The book didn't even need us. Almost.
No, we made like three choices. Now, I saw some illustrations, one in which I think we were being attacked by an owl.
Yeah, so, and we'll do this one again. So we'll take a look and see if we can get some different endings. We improved nothing. No, we didn't. We didn't improve anything at all.
It's true. It's just
the typical choose your own adventure. We'll put you in a weird spot. We'll find you some weird stuff. And yeah, we just annoyed everyone. But we're nine. Yeah. That's our job. That's it. I'm
that's
a kid. That's my job.
Of 1985 for all of us, wasn't it?
Wasn't that in Uncle Buck with Macaulay Culkin? You ask a lot of questions. I'm a kid. That's my job.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yes. All right.
This is a great example of a choose your own adventure that really. I bet you it gets bonkers at one point for sure.
Oh, there's probably aliens. I mean, there always is. I guarantee you there's an alien here someplace.
But we had the poison soup conundrum here.
Yeah. We'll find another ending next time. We'll do this again, and we'll see if we can, you know, die a different way or meh. So the next one we're going to go through is a Which Way book, which is the GoBots of Choose Your Own Adventure. And this one's a Star Trek one. Now, we did a Star Trek. I'll try to put a link in it in the show notes for when you're listening to this later. We did a Star Trek one a while back, but this is a different one. So this is Star Trek Voyage to Adventure.
If you zoom in on the cover, mm-hmm. And maybe I have a different cover than you. Mine has water damage on it. It looks like it's some AI art.
It's AI art
tried to like make.
It's got a lizard type thing. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it's pretty cool. This one's by Michael J. Dodge. Explore astounding new worlds on the Starship Enterprise. Ooh. All right. This one was published in 1984. Pages aren't near as yellow as the last one.
No.
This was not
just
stored.
As a warning to everyone, just as a disclaimer from the You Choose podcast, there's a reason why we went with You Choose podcast.
Uh-huh.
Because Which Way podcast would have been, these books don't really, you'll see
what we're talking about. Again, this is the, like we said, the GoBots of the Choose Your Own Adventure world, but we'll give it a try.
Star Trek meets the Brood. Is the Brood, is that a vampire reference?
No, that's an X-Men villain is the Brood. They're kind of like a lizard, insectoid type thing. It. Yeah. All right. You started the other one, so I'll start this one.
Yes, sir.
You are an ensign in Starfleet, just graduated from Starfleet Academy. Because of your high scores as a cadet, you have been assigned to the Starship Enterprise, commanded by James T. Kirk. As you pick up your space bag and it's not just a bag anymore, it's a space bag.
Space bag. It's in space, Lee. It's in a space. Space bag.
Everything. You prepare to beam aboard the Enterprise. You can remember the speech Admiral Traynor gave to your class of ensigns. Never forget that Starfleet's mission is to keep peace in the galaxy. Use force only when everything else has failed. And never forget the prime directive.
Has Jim Kirk gotten the message on that? Because dude punches everything he sees.
He does.
He's karate chopping dudes. He's like, yeah!
He sleeps with it or punches it. One of the two.
That's his choices. He's like, can I punch it or shoot it? Can I shoot it, punch it, or make out with it? If I can't do any of those things, I don't know what to do.
I can't deal with this.
He goes and picks up his peanut butter and jelly sandwich. At first he kisses it, and then he doesn't kiss him back, so he drops an elbow on it.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know what to
punches
do.
It. And then he gets out his phaser and shoots it. How dare
it's
you?
It's true. That's the best Star Trek episode written right there.
Yeah. It's James T. Kirk making a jelly sandwich, peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Jesse screams out Wesley Crusher as loud as he can.
Yes, of course.
And first order of business is to sit in a chair like Riker, which is, there are these low chairs in my office. I will literally swing my leg over the chair.
And sit in it.
Like some sort of boss, and then sit in it.
Oh, man. All right, let's see.
I came here to do two things, and you're not my type.
And that's you're not funny. My type.
You're getting shot or punched.
Exactly. Never forget the prime directive. Do not interfere with the alien race, even if you think you would be doing the right thing. We do not always understand the ways of other peoples, and sometimes our help may only make things worse. Power is a terrible thing unless it is used wisely. Now, best of luck to you all. The transporter operator pushes the controls and light surrounds you. You are beamed aboard the Enterprise. It is time to choose your assignment aboard the Enterprise. There is a board that shows the jobs available, but it does not say very much about them. Okay, so here's our choices. If you want to try engineering, go to page 3. If you choose to work on the bridge, go to page 4. If you prefer a job in the science laboratory, go to page 5.
Ooh,
so
a try choice.
A try choice, not a dual choice. So engineer, the bridge, or the laboratory are 3 options. So let us know in the chat.
Al asking the obvious question. Why do ensigns get to choose their own job? It's true.
It's true. Yeah. And Jesse, classic Jesse, go to the saloon. I mean, hail Scotty. That'd be engineering. So that's a vote for... We're gonna
bridge. We got a vote for Scott, engineering or the bridge.
Okay, so we might have to flip for this one. The bridge, just like Wesley, we're going to crusher this. Oh, Al.
Al, plug that in. Do we have the horns?
I got the.
There
got
it is.
That one.
Just as good.
Yes. Okay. So. Let's flip. I guess heads.
No, we had someone change their vote. We have 2 bridge votes now.
Oh, so
because there's Jesse. I like how Al is thinking. We gotta fly this baby. So he's voting for the bridge.
All right, so that's page 4. So that'd be you, Eddie.
Page four.
A little U switch at the end there.
U switch. Ooh, U-turn.
U-turn. The U-turn podcast.
The U-turn podcast.
You arrive on the bridge. On the display screen ahead, stars are flashing past. As you step from the turbo lift, Captain Kirk turns to face you. He might kiss you. He might punch you.
He might shoot you.
He might shoot you. He might do all three. Welcome aboard, Ensign, the captain says. We've been receiving some strange transmissions from the uncharted planet in this sector. Your job will be to help Lieutenant Uhura translate and list them. You take a seat next to Lieutenant Uhura. She smiles and points to a huge pile of tape cassettes. What?
What?
It's the future.
Come on, no tape cassettes there.
Sucker's digital, man. What are we doing? On one side of the console and a pair of headphones on the other. There's a lot of work to do, she says. Where do you want to start? If you wish to use the translating computer on the recordings already made, go to page 50. If you prefer listening to the transmissions through headphones, go to page 43.
Hmm. Okay. So
do we go manual or do we go automatic?
Automatic, yeah. With our cassettes in the 21st century, or the 23rd century, sorry.
The 23rd, yeah, it's crazy.
Come on. Oh, well.
Can we start in the future and not use the tape?
Yeah, it's 1984. Evidently, they thought, hey, these things are going to last forever. We're never going to get rid of these things.
Technology will never fade.
Well, of course, in 1984, the cassette was probably considered high tech.
Al's manual, pay your dues. headphones, what is this science? I must experience this magical.
Headphones.
All right, I think we have a vote for headphones for both.
Okay. All right. 43. Then. Okay. You listen to the message, but all they seem to be is squeaks, beeps, and whistles. Then after hours of listening to the noise, you clearly hear a voice say, "You who can hear this message, please respond. We're the Takoi. We need your help. Whoever you are, we are the Takoi. We are dying, ... You throw the switch so that everyone on the bridge can hear the voice, but nothing can be heard on the speakers but squeaks and whistles. Captain Kirk says, "What's the matter, Ensign?" The captain listens to your explanation. He says, "What do you think, Mr. Spock?" Spock says, "Many races are capable of sending their thoughts through space, Captain. Perhaps the radio signals were only to make us listen." Kirk nods and turns to the helmsman. "Mr. Sulu, set course for the Takoi planet. Warp factor 6. "Aye, Captain." Sulu says, and the stars on this display turn into a rainbow as the ship enters warp drive. Turn to page 57. Soon the Enterprise is in orbit above the planet that has been sending the mysterious signals. On the view screens, you can see the huge storm sweeping over the planet's surface and great empty cities crumbling away to dust. "There is only one life reading, Captain," Mr. Spock says from the science computer. Sensors show a group of life forms below the ruined city on the screen at a depth of 1,800 meters. "Inside the planet?" says Captain Kirk. "Yes, Captain. Can we beam down there?" Spock says, "Sensors and transporters will work poorly, but I'll do what I can." The captain stands up. "Get us as close as you can, Spock. Tell Dr. McCoy to meet me in the transporter room." Kirk looks at you. "You're our expert on communicating with the Takoi, Ensign. This is awesome. Get your gear and come with me." Turn to page 47. We're an expert now. Wow.
I got one message. This is total you choose hubris right here. I love it.
It is.
And you're like, "I am the expert. I got that one message.
One tape and I'm the expert all of a sudden?" Jeez. Crushing it. Oh, yes.
Years later, you're a commander and you're like, I single-handedly translated that transmission to
all by myself.
Uhura's like, "I helped him."
You, Captain Kirk, and Dr. McCoy beam down from the ship into a tunnel somewhere under the surface of the Takoi planet. The walls are of stone, carved with strange symbols and very worn with age. Ahead of you lie two corridors. Captain Kirk says, "You get any life readings, Bones?" The doctor points his tricorder down each tunnel. "I can't get a strong signal through all this rock, Jim," Kirk says. "What do you think, Ensign?" "All right, here we go. If you want to take the left-hand tunnel,
turn to page 73. If you favor the right-hand path, turn to page 51. All right, so left or right? Wait, is our ensign uniform red? Yes. Exactly. All right. Let us know in the chat. Do we go left or do we go right? And we'll go there with Dr. McCoy.
It's very labyrinth all of a sudden, up or down.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. Let me put my red shirt on real quick. I almost forgot it.
Oh, I almost forgot my red shirt. Let me put that on here real quick.
Now I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly. Or Kirk hands it to you. Put this on before we go.
You'll need this.
You're going to need this. Oh, Jesse, I don't want to be left behind.
We got a split decision here.
Okay. All right, let me grab
you choose
the
coin.
Let's flip this coin. So let's just do head right, left, or tails left. All right.
I can dig it.
Tails.
Ooh.
So we're going left.
Left-handed.
Lefty, page 73, all right, here we go. Eddie.
You follow the corridor through many twists and turns. Suddenly, you hear a rumbling noise above you. You see a stone wall about to drop from the ceiling between you and the two officers. If you want to try to roll underneath the wall before it closes, go to page 64. If you don't think you can make it, turn to page 44.
Huh.
To roll or not to roll?
Not to roll. That is the question.
This is where you cue that Star Trek music. Ba 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 ba.
Is that was from the original series, right? Or is that Next Generation? Okay.
They would play that music when there was anything like chaotically bad happening. It was just like that classic, like they're saying roll out, rock and roll, saying roll for it.
Oh, we're gonna be rolling for it.
Page 64, Lee.
As the panel falls, you dive to the floor and roll toward the two officers. Your uniform jacket snags on the stone floor, pinning you beneath the swiftly dropping panel. You can see Captain Kirk reaching for your hand to pull you to safety, but he is too late. Wow.
Boom.
The end.
Dude, we're and our dead. Uniform did betray us.
It did. That red uniform. Wow. We got crushed by a pile of rock.
We got crushered.
We got, oh man. As the last thing we see is Captain Kirk as we get crushed.
Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch. Oh man.
He got rocked. What does Macho Man have to say about this?
Yeah.
He's into it. He's
we
good.
We crushed our hopes and dreams.
Don't you blame this on the Traveler. It's Wesley's fault, and we all know it.
It's Wesley's fault anyway. Whether he was there or not, it doesn't matter.
That is hilarious, dude. We just mentioned him being a red shirt, and we got instantly killed.
We talked about it, and he just died. Man, what an ending. We have to run away.
This is Al's comment here. Do your job as a proper red shirt and take one.
He literally did. He was crushed.
He did. We got
rocked. Oh man, these are great puns.
Turned into a little charcuterie board. Look at that, just crunched.
I know.
He's like reaching up to.
Help me.
Notice how they didn't want to draw Captain Kirk. They're like, nah, man, I'm just drawing a boot and an arm.
Yeah, there we go. All you see is Captain Kirk's boot and arm in the picture as you're reaching for your life. And Kirk's like,
help me.
I might help you. I don't know if I'm going to or not.
I can't punch you or shoot you, and I don't want to kiss you.
Yeah, so. We'll get another one. We got another 100 red shirts up in the ship. No problem. We'll get another
one. Well, we owe this a proper revisit for sure.
Yeah, definitely. That was good though. I love how the ensigns just get to pick everything. That is good to know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Red shirt gave the blood sacrifice. Exactly. All right. Well,
at least he didn't violate the prime directive.
Well, good point. See? Yeah.
Hey.
He didn't violate it. All right. Well, hey, thanks everybody in the chat. And you can also go to youchoosepodcast.com, check out our old episodes. You can get in touch with us, buy some merch, whatever you'd like. And let us know if any there's any books out there you want us to take a hold of and read. Otherwise, we're going to go through these again next week and get a whole different story, we hope.
Yeah, be sure to follow us on all of the social medias that you can think of. We're on there, youchoosepodcast.com. And let us know. We got stickers and all sorts of swag you can get. If you where can they get that, Lee? Where's that at?
Yeah, youchoosepodcast.com. There's a link there called merch. Just go there, click on it, take you to our store. There's all sorts of stuff you can check out.
There you go.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. And until next time, you choose the adventure. See y'all.
Good night. And thank you, Al and Jesse, for joining us tonight.
Exactly. Thank you, everybody. We'll see ya.
Also, we have the new You Choose podcast, Getting Old Edition.
As Eddie puts glasses on.
I got to wear readers anymore when it comes to reading the fine text. Look at these suckers. They make my eyes all big.
Well, did you have glasses? Did you have glasses when you were a kid? So when you were reading these books, you had? Yeah. Okay. So it's full circle.
Well, I wear contacts now.
Oh, okay.
These are old people glasses. This is when you can't read the small print. You're like, oh man, it's like your grandma with that magnifying glass. With
you keep moving it forward, or it's like it's not in focus. Why is everything blurry?
If you guys could see me off camera, because you're seeing me like just look down and read, I'm holding the phone like this far away. I'm like, so I was like, it's time to get some.
Yeah, it's time.
It's time, Lee. It's time.
It's time. Yep. You just can't put it off any longer. But we're not going to put this off any longer because we're going to start a new series. So we did the House of Danger game, but now we're going to go back to the books again. And tonight we have two different books. We have a Choose Your Own Adventure book, and then we have, as Eddie refers to, the GoBots of the Choose Your Own Adventure books. They're similar, but they're not quite the same. But we try to pick the best.
It feels like it.
Yeah, it feels like it.
It feels like it's similar, but not. Pardon me while I go and tell people we're alive.
Yeah, well, it's like when every kid had this at Christmas time where grandma gets you GoBots or gets you some knockoff G.I. Joes or some knockoff books. You're like, oh, thank you. But this isn't, you don't want to say, ew, but it's just not the same.
Oh, man. I remember, like, I have one of my great stories about Castle Grayskull. I think I've told the story here already on the show. But, like, when your parent gets you the wrong thing, that was on purpose, in my case, on that one. But, like, my grandma, plenty of times, like, I got you a He-Man. And it's like, those muscle, remember the muscle figures?
Yeah,
those
little pink rubber guys? Yeah, they're only, like, 2 inches tall.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, I got you a He-Man. And there's like these little guys. I'm like, this is not
He-Man, Mom.
GoBots were the best example of.
Yes, they were. But my,
was
my,
that
I know my
Tonka?
Yes, I think you're right. There's you can go on YouTube Tonka. And you can go on YouTube and watch the intro. And yeah, they're made by Tonka. They were trying to obviously knock off the Transformers. But my brother had a couple of them actually.
Oh, dude, I had one.
Oh,
I did.
Okay. Yeah.
I was I was like, and then I got it, and I was like so mad. My brother got the scooter.
Oh, okay.
literally called Scooter.
Yeah.
And then one of my friends had the airplane Leader One.
Yes, Leader One, the jet.
Leader One.
Yep.
And then I had they had GoBots and they had Mega GoBots. They were like bigger versions that were chunky.
Oh man.
And I had the villain. I had Psy-Kill.
Psy-Kill, yes, the motorcycle. Oh man.
Yes. And here's how bad GoBots are. They've not made a movie about them.
That's how bad they are. Nobody even wants to make a movie about them.
Not even Michael Bay.
Not even. I just gonna say Michael Bay doesn't even want to touch it. That's how bad it is. But this isn't the GoBots podcast.
Become immortal by joining the You Choose Live podcast. Hop on, and you know what would be fun to do at some point. I don't know how to do it right yet. Didn't we talk about doing like a call-in type show? Like people could call in.
I think we might be able to do that. Yeah. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We could try that.
Actually phone in their responses as they watch live.
But. And like you said, you'll be immortalized. So somebody in 2153 will be listening to this and they'll be like, what? 2023? What were they talking about? You'll be immortalized forever.
You'll be happy to know I sent a message out to a group that likes to follow us, and I said, "You Choose Live Super Old Edition is live now." And one of the Jesse goes, "Super old, so like a regular episode."
Oh. So Al Garrison of Oma Comments is in the chat too. Joining live never killed anybody. Well, we'll see about that. All right.
We're not done yet.
We're not done yet. So